This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions.
But right now, Damien Davies, our Australians Abroad expert, is on the line. And Damien, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Louise. How are you tonight?
I'm great, thank you. And I hear it's been a tough week in the European club comps for our Australians.
Yeah, there's a handful of Australians playing in the group stages in both Champions League and Europa, so maybe starting Champions League. Obviously, we're happy that a couple of the Aussie boys are running around for PSV, but they did lose to Inter Milan in their tie last week with both Bage and Trent Sainsbury sitting on the bench. A little bit better for Djiganic in that he got 90 minutes, but his Serbian side did get touched up a little bit by PSG, losing 6-1. Probably not a lot of shame in that, to be honest. PSG are in fine form, as we all know. And then in Europa, all three Aussies that played last week were all on the wrong side of the ledger, unfortunately. Danny Vukovic playing 90 minutes, Jenny Al playing and starting for his Cypriot club. He did get an assist in their loss, and Alex Gersbach got 90 minutes, which was good to see, but unfortunately his team lost that tie as well. There was one successful Aussie in the European comps last week, and that was in the youth leagues for UEFA that started last week. There's a young kid for Australia, a young Australian kid called Antoine Martinez, who's playing at Midtjylland in Denmark, the same club as Mobile. He played 90 minutes for them, and they had a 2-1 win last week, which is good news.
And over in England, Damien, a couple of our Aussies got some much-needed points in the fight against relegation.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a tough couple of weeks, but Matt Ryan and his Brighton side had a 1-0 win on Friday night against West Ham, which was great to see. And then Aaron Moy got a 1-1 tie with Burnley. Again, Moy proving to get heaps of plaudits for his season so far. So good to see that. Championship level, kind of quite a few Aussies playing there as usual, as you have seen the last couple of weeks as the season has progressed. Probably a few worth noting. James Meredith at Millwall got a win on the weekend, which is good. They're down near the bottom of the table, so it certainly needed that. Massalongo's QPR got a draw on the weekend with Mass getting 90 minutes. Ryan Edwards, unfortunately, lost on the weekend but had a draw midweek, so they did pick up a point. Rotherham has had a good start to the year. And Jackson Irvine was a bit of a concern probably this time last week with an Achilles injury. We weren't quite sure how bad it was, but he seemed to shake that off pretty quickly. He did start again this week. Unfortunately, Hull City did lose, and they are in a bit of a scrap at the bottom of the table. So hopefully they can turn it around. And all three of our Aussies in League One, Kenny Dougal, Ryan McGowan and Burgess, all played 90 minutes on the weekend, with Kenny Dougal and Barnsley the only ones winning.
And Kenny has been rewarded for his form. He's into the Socceroos squad as an injury replacement player after Aaron Moy has stayed home. He suffered a little groin strain in a draw with Burnley, so he won't be travelling. But good to see Kenny Dougal getting an international look in after his form over in the Netherlands last season and his form for Barnsley this season. Damien, I wanted to talk Scotland, and the Aussies have absolutely invaded Scotland, especially Hibs. But we have a new player to call Australian in Martin Boyle, who will be part of this Socceroos camp. He's never been to Australia, but his father is Australian, so we've made a pretty handy signing there.
Well, I think, yeah, his debut for the Socceroos in a fully-fledged international will be on Australian soil, hopefully. So that could be his first trip down under. But, yes, he obviously had a big week. By all reports, he's been scouted for quite some time, and Ange came close to get him across. And the fact that he's now been named and it's all out in the open, I think, is a fantastic thing. And he obviously celebrated on the weekend with a goal for Hibs, a pretty handy-looking goal as well. Obviously, the Aussie boys are doing very well, as you said, but Milligan got another 90. My understanding, he's now kept a clean sheet. Well, Hibs and Milligan have now kept a clean sheet for the last five games, something astronomical like that. So he's in great form. Ryan Edwards and Andy Rose started for their respective clubs. Jesse Curran came on for Dundee. And then last night, Celtic got snuck home with a 6-0 win, of which Tommy got three assists. So fantastic to see that, with Ben Garuccio being used for Hearts as well in their game against Rangers. So plenty of Australians doing well there. Even if you drop down to championship level, there was a couple of good things to note with Jack Erndale starting for Greenock Morton on the weekend. They had a draw, and Lyndon Dykes having an assist in his 90-minute appearance for Queen of the South. I think that they end up with a 3-3 draw, so it would have been an entertaining game for all fans.
And Jesse Curran was another player who was on the radar for the Socceroos, given their right-back problem.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I was reading an article or an interview in the English press with Ryan Williams earlier today that was talking about him being on some kind of standby list. I'd love to see what that standby list looks like. There would have to be about a dozen decent players, well, players with a decent shout at the moment that would have to be there or thereabouts. And Jesse Curran has certainly been one of those that have been talked about. And I love the way Arnie is kind of spreading the net a little bit wider. And it'd be great to see a few more guys get introduced to the system over the next sort of 6 to 12 months, and certainly, you know, in build up to the Asian Cup, but then as we build towards the next World Cup as well.
Just returning to Martin Boyle, he's been the subject of a bit of an international tug of war. Apparently, the Scotland manager Alex McLeish made a late play to try and get him back in the Scotland squad. Does it feel good for you as a Socceroos fan, having lost quite a few players to other countries over the years? You know, Josip Simenic comes to mind. A little bit satisfying to sort of get one back, I suppose?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I think, you know, it's one of those things, right? Until they're actually over that white line, it's still game on, right? And Geniao is a perfect example. I mean, he was in a Greek squad for their seniors, and they never took him off the bench. So he never stuck foot on the ground as a Greek player, and now he's fully-fledged Australian, right? So it's an interesting one. There's a couple of the younger guys that are floating around at the moment that are they're playing their youth football not for Australia, but they're eligible for Australia. So it'll be interesting to see as those guys develop. There's bound to be more tussles between countries. And I think the fact that the Australians have now qualified for multiple World Cups, they're going to be playing Asian Cup every 4 years as well. I think the attraction of playing for Australia is a lot better than what it was maybe even, you know, 10 years ago, right? When maybe we did have a couple of issues around people not necessarily choosing Australia. But, you know, I think we probably bat of our weight when players do have the choice.
It's no longer like surfing for England, as Craig Johnston once infamously said. But let's go over to the continent, Damien. Starting in Germany, a lot of Socceroos and fringe Australian players making important first-team appearances, some getting through 90 minutes, others coming off the bench.
Yeah, so Matt Lecky is probably the headliner in Germany. He did come off the bench and was on the side of a draw this week at Hertha. Robbie Cruz started, had a 1-0 win. Netherlands was probably the big one over the weekend, with Trent Sainsbury getting 90 minutes in the heart of defence for PSV, with others Bage coming off the bench late in that game as well. Arjen Hoestijk had another 90 minutes for Groningen in the Netherlands. That was a 90-minute appearance, but a loss for him. And Denny Generaal got another start in a win for his club, PEC. So quite a few Aussies going well in the top level, then the second and third tiers as well. Pasquale was used on the weekend. A young midfielder by the name of Thomas Prinsen, who was at PEC in the youth leagues. He's now at Almere City. In the third tier, he was used again on the weekend. He's probably made about 6 or 7 appearances so far this year for 18-19-year-old. Started his career very well. And then some of the ones that you talk about in Croatia, for example, Steve Lustiger was used this week. Anthony Kelly got another 90 minutes. Geniar got 90 minutes, which is good. The guys in Denmark going really well. I mean, he got 90 minutes and assist as he side drew this week, and Mabil started and got an assist this week as his side won. So Mabil's going really, really well. And then some of the guys that are probably a little bit in and out at the moment. Schusnar got 90 minutes on the weekend. Denny Urich, Tommy's younger brother, was a used sub. Gersbach started again. Jimmy Jago and James Holland both started in Holland. Vukovic got another big win in Belgium. So a good mix of, I guess, countries and leagues that our Aussies are playing in, and some pretty important names that are back running around leading into the camp as well.
And turning our attention to Asia, a return to action for several Australian players.
Yeah, so in Japan, Andrew Nepu returned to the field this week. He was used an unused sub last week. He was used sub this week. So good to see him probably about 4 months, maybe 4 months, 4 weeks, sorry, ahead of schedule, which is great. Jason Gehry has started. He's been a little bit quiet in the second tier in Japan for the last 2 or 3 months, but he's back out there running around. Mitch Langerak got 90 minutes Unfortunately, his side did go down this week. And Pierce Waring, the victory kid who's over in Japan as well, was used for the under-23 side this week, who were playing in the third level, J3. And then in Korea, there's a couple of guys as well. McGowan has been a bit unheard of the last couple of weeks. He was back on the bench for his club side this week. Connor Chapman got another 90 minutes. And Alex Jovanic, who's a centre-back, we've talked about a few times. He's been all over the place. He's now pulled together probably four or five full appearances as centre-back for Jeju. So good to see him getting his career back on track. Probably the biggest one in Asia would be Tim Kale. He made his starting debut this week for his new club side in India. They managed a very late draw, but he was up against Eric Pasalu as well, who was playing for Bangalore. He had 90 minutes on the other side of the pitch. So good to see how Aussies doing well in India, Korea, Japan. Take your pick across the board there.
Who would have bet for that reunion, Eric Pasalu and Tim Cahill playing against each other in India? But football's a funny old game, and Tim Cahill getting his first outing for Jamshedpur FC. As you said, 72 minutes, which I think is more football than he played cumulatively for Millwall across his entire spell there.
Yeah, I think, between Millwall and Melbourne City, he didn't get a lot of minutes in his last season or so, right? So, yeah, you're probably right. 72 minutes would be about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about our coaches, Damien? It seems they're getting onto a good run of form, both Harry Kewell and Ange Postecoglou picking up wins.
Yeah, they did. Harry had a very good win away this week, 1-0 result. That's now 3 in a row for Harry. Not to be outdone, as you say, and had a 2-1 home win this week, also 3 in a row for him. So while Harry's got a lot of the season to go and hasn't got that many weeks to go at Yokohama, he's probably now officially clear of relegation. They're up into 10th spot. They're still the leading goal-scoring side in the J-League as well. So, and just certainly turned it around over the last couple of months, and the reports that are being written about him in terms of the style that he's introduced to Yokohama is all very, very positive, and certainly on a journey, right? It's not about one season. It's about a plan over multiple seasons. So good luck to him.
Yeah, I'm sure Ange would back that viewpoint up. It's about the process, and I've seen it, you know, written by a few J-League experts that they think his side will be contending for the title next season. It seems to fluctuate in terms of table positions quite a lot from season to season in the J-League, and if Yokohama can carry this form into next season and build on what they've done, they could be contending up the other end of the table.
I know. It would be good to see. I did hear somebody tongue-in-cheek mentioning that Ange will go chasing Mitch Langerak in the off-season, so we might have more reason to follow Yokohama.
I wonder if the Japanese FA might end up chasing Ange. He's one of the outstanding coaches in the J-League and certainly playing some of the best football and earning a lot of plaudits despite their defensive record. They've scored so many goals and played such nice football. Every time you see one of those clips of Yokohama playing the ball all the way out from the back, it's a delight to behold, and he's well appreciated over in Japan, it seems.
I go on record as saying I don't want to run into him as the national coach of Japan in the Asian Cup final. No thanks.
I wouldn't either. Damien, we must leave it there. Thank you so much for your company and your in-depth update on all the Australians playing overseas.
No problem at all, guys. Have a great night.